Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is The Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Lights, camera, action, the lure of Hollywood stardom is intoxicating, but the journey to get there can be a long one, but it can be done. Well, tonight, we're going to talk to those who have done it and guided those who deserve it. My guest is Vera Katz, professor emeritus and author of the new book, A Cat's Work, A Toolbook of Techniques for Actors and Directors. If you have dreams of making it to Hollywood in front of or behind the camera, give us a call right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Professor Katz, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Fisher.
Absolutely. You can call me Harold.
Oh, thank you.
You can call me Harold, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
You have a distinguished career here at Howard University, guiding young minds from the classroom to either the Great White Way or to the Hollywood Hills. Is that a pipe dream for people who want to experience those kinds of careers? Everybody wants to be a star, Professor Katz.
Yes, yes. Well, it takes hard work, like everything, like every career. There's work involved. It's not the glitz and glamour until you do the work. There are techniques, there's study, there's reading, there's watching people, there's applying yourself, there's hours in rehearsal rooms, and getting your voice to be able to send messages from the stage or on camera, getting your body to work so that it can express what's going on inside of you, getting your ability to interrelate with people you don't even know who are your scene partners on the set. It takes a lot of work and study, and over a period of years, Harold, it can happen. Look at our own Taraji Henson coming out of Southeast D.C., and look what she's accomplished in her life. She's a hard worker like they all were at Howard in that period, and I'm so proud of them. I know all of us at Howard are.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just get a YouTube channel and pray for luck.
Well, you won't last long, okay? I mean, you know, I don't want to mention names, but people came out, they did one TV show, and then they're gone. You don't see them anymore. They don't last. Lasting takes technique. Lasting takes hard work. And you have to have craft to last. So, yes, you can be a hot look for the moment, maybe for even the decade, but then what?
So, you know, with that said, when you look at how, let's talk about Hollywood, not versus, but Hollywood and Black Hollywood, mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a really, really long time. Talk to me in your mind about the evolution of Hollywood and Black Hollywood and what it has meant for Black actors as well as Black directors and other people who are behind the scenes.
Well, when I first came to Howard, that was 1969, there wasn't anybody, well, maybe Diane Carroll. That was maybe the only person of color on TV. Nobody of color on the screen, certainly not on stage, which didn't make any sense to me at all, because there I was, you know, immersed in a sea of talent and intelligence and beauty, and so I rolled up my sleeves and said, I've got to do something here. I've got to give them everything I know and push, 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 and be tough, and something will happen. And it did. It did. So I have witnessed, as many people in my age range have witnessed, a change. We are now seeing people of color on every screen all the time, and that is a tremendous improvement. Now,
hold on, Professor, if you can, because yes. I've got to take a quick break, and I'm going to let you finish your point, and I have lots of questions for you. And we are also going to talk to actor, producer, and director Isaiah Washington after the break. This is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. Stay with us. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to continue to talk about, so you want to be an actor or director. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. So you want to be an actor or a director. How long, how difficult is the road to Hollywood or the Great White Way? Well, tonight we are talking to Vera Katz, Professor Emeritus and author of A Cat's Work, A Toolbox of Techniques for Actors and Directors. And also joining the conversation, Isaiah Washington, actor, producer, director, Renaissance man, resident good-looking black brother. Thank you so much for both of you joining the conversation. Before I go to you, Mr. Washington, I want you to finish your point, Professor Katz.
Okay, and I do want to just get the book, the name of the book correct. It's A Cat's Walk.
Ah, forgive me.
That's all right. That's all right. It's a pun on the cat walk that hangs over the theater.
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, it's important because we want to sell the book.
And we want it to be accurate. So thank you so much.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. So you asked me a very sweeping question, and so I'm just going to tackle sort of the more recent. In the more recent years, so after we began to use, the industry began to realize the talent and also the economic appeal of people seeing themselves on screen or stage, then what we have now is people making their own telling their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Black people telling their own history, their own legends, their own stories. This is where directing comes in also. And this is so important that you authenticate your history. And, of course, who better can do that than a person of color? So that's what's happening now. Now, because it's so easy to get a camera, you run the risk, as always, when something becomes mass, of putting out shoddy work with people because people haven't been trained. And, of course, being a teacher, I will always say that training is the most important thing if you want to tell stories and of artistic content and make comments about your history that uplift and are accurate, you need training. Yet, this is a wonderful revolution that this is happening now.
Yeah. Isaiah Washington, welcome to the conversation, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to piggyback on what Professor Katz was sharing with us. And you have a a broad view of Black Hollywood today, what that is like, the opportunities as well as the challenges and the speed bumps. When, if you were to give advice to someone who wants to, who say that they want to be famous, that they want to be a star, what do you tell them?
That's not a good enough reason. It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. As Professor Katz says, you got a lot of people that are unqualified that could become famous, become rich. But it's a short road. Where longevity doesn't have any room there. Before I met Professor Katz, I had people like Novella Nelson, Shoshana Beverly, and Lori Carlos that were famous for their performances in The Color Girls on Broadway. And they were my trainers post Howard University, post Vera Katz, post Harry Poe, and the Ebony Improv Theater there in Washington, D.C., which is now defunct. And they told me right away that we don't need just another pretty face. That mm-hmm. They were quite nice about it, but I'm not going to say it under air. But we don't need just another pretty face on the stage. You need to be trained. You need to be trained well. You need to know your history. You need to know where you came from, and you need to know where you're going. Well, you need to know where you came from in order to know where you're going. So I immersed myself in various writers like Richard Wright and Dorian Hansberry and James Baldwin was one of my favorites, and Adam Paley and others, Honorable Tance and Zora Neale Hurston. To guide me on where we've been, to kind of know where I'm going. And that's always stayed with me. And obviously, 35 years later, there would be no career had I not got the leadership of Vera Katz. I say that openly all the time. It's just a fact. It's part of my history and part of our legacy. Contrary to popular belief, I only spent one semester at Howard University. And I was allowed by Ms. Katz to participate in the juries, to sit in her classes while I was there. And then she put me on the path to meet my mentor, Harry Poe, who put me on the path to meet my mentor, Diane Houston in New York, and with City Kids Repertory Theater, and my career was off. I never lost focus. Professor Katz knows that I was a very hard worker. I'm still a very hard worker. You can never stop learning. You never stop training. You can never stop building on your craft. The very basic principles of orchestrating a script and striking my beats and verbs of action came from her. I still use them to this day. Everything that she taught me in that short amount of time, I still utilize to this day. But I think the key point for any talent, you have to have talent. Mm-hmm. You can't be in denial about who you are, where you are in terms of talent. It's just not enough to be popular and pretty face. You have to know what you're doing. You have mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. understand that the craft is a vocation, not unlike a heart surgeon or a police officer. You have to be trained in the field. What they don't teach you is how to negotiate the politics once you become a commodity available for levels of exploitation. And I think you said kind of as a positive. We all exploited. Ms. Kathy is here to sell her book. So she's allowed herself to be exploited, her legacy to be exploited, so people can be educated and enlightened about her journey, her path, and all of the tentacles and circumstance that come with that. No one teaches you in class how to negotiate your brand. No one teaches you about a brand and what that means, how to sustain it, how to create it, how to maintain it. That takes kind of like on-the-job training. You you learn by it as you go. You make mistakes. You fall in pitfalls, and you get yourself up, and you keep going. But if your talent is there and your technique is there, then that will definitely sustain you. It's going to sustain me for 35 years. I've been able to feed myself and my family and educate my kids with the idea that I think I'm talented.
and as I said, along with your talent and your skills, no, it doesn't hurt to be good looking. I mean, we are talking about a visual media,
you know.
Professor Katz, what about what Mr. Washington is saying about the politics of that?
Well, hold on,
because I have a really specific question about that. And it's the first time I've ever had the chance to get away with cutting off a professor. I'll have to write today down. Professor Katz.
She will be calling me, giving me notes on this interview.
Professor Katz, I will tell you that was the difference between an A and a B at Morgan State University for
when I
cut off my speech teacher. She never let me live it down.
But
I guess I turned out okay. But you know, as you said, you came to Howard in 69.
Yeah.
And you talked about the observable politics of acting, where there was no one, but as you said, like a Diane Carroll. And now we see, you know, just this evolution of Hollywood, and like mm-hmm. I said, Mr. Washington was just talking about, the politics, and you have people like yourself and him and the greats that have come through Howard University or come to mm-hmm. Howard University. Isn't that something that they should talk about? And what would you want to hear them say?
Your question is what?
What isn't that the politics of Hollywood? Isn't that something that they should talk about, in addition to just getting there? And what would you want to hear them say?
Well, none of the schools teach that. It's sort of like, you know, you become a congressman and then you learn what the politics of the situation is. You have to be, and Isaiah said it so well, he always expresses himself well, you have to be in the trenches to figure it out, which means that from the very beginning, the students who have done such wonderful work that I've had the pleasure of teaching were smart. They were well-read. Isaiah was very well-read and continues to be a reader to this day. They were well-read. They had experienced life. They were thoughtful. And that, with a strong desire, and then, of course, is that what the word talent incorporates? Talent is a hard word to measure. But you have to have intelligence and be well read and understand the world and different peoples in it in order to be an actor. So that's a lot to teach in 4 years. Plus, as I said before, the body, the voice, an analysis of great writers, as Isaiah mentioned, James Baldwin, and there are so many new ones today that are just wonderful, Cheryl West and Suzanne Laurie Parks. Anyway, so that's a lot to teach in 4 years. The business aspect in most areas is not taught at a university. You don't talk about God and religion, and you don't talk about money.
Although maybe you should.
And we always have to operate with it. So,
yeah.
Yes, I do think on a graduate level, it should be incorporated. But I will say to you, Harold, that Howard does not have a graduate-level theater department.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think you are totally right should go under the aegis of the graduate level. Definitely. But, because then a student has the skills and the understanding of what it takes and what she and he is about, and then they can start to figure out what Isaiah is talking about. And Isaiah mentioned the word brand, which, of course, is a fairly recent word in our lexicon.
Yes, I was about to say that, yes.
Yes, it's a fairly recent word in our lexicon. And so branding is a whole thing in itself. So, yes, I agree it should be taught, but I do not think on an undergraduate level.
Mm. You know, Mr. Washington, we speak about, you know, acting, but also, obviously, as a producer and a director, that's a different set of eyes. For directors and actors of color, is this their time, in your opinion?
Well, I read the autobiography on Stephen Fetcher.
Oh, my.
And what he branded made millions of dollars for him and even more millions of dollars for his producers. But conversely, it put a foul taste in many of the African Americans' mouths at that time, because he was considered a number of things that I'm not going to say on air that were not positive. Mm-hmm. And in that, in his hubris at the time, he, right before Hattie McDaniel, or right shortly after, when they were being very successful playing the Mammies and the Maids and the slow thinking, them with it, but yet very clever characters, Stephen Fetchit, he coined the term Black Hollywood, but people took it on as a positive at the time, but he was really sticking his finger in the eye of the system by saying, well, if I'm Black Hollywood, what is Hollywood? If you have to put black in front of Hollywood, then you would conversely have to put white or brown or yellow or red in front of Hollywood. Why is Hollywood separate? Black people have to be separate from the Hollywood system. So even today, I don't believe, personally, in my opinion, that there is such a thing as a Black Hollywood. If there were, we would have one of the most strongest exhibitor theater systems in the world based on our economic investments and what we do in the entertainment industry. We'll have our own distributorship. We'll have a graduate level for actors at Howard University and other HBCUs across the country. We'll have over $1 trillion worth of assets, if that were true. I've been here for 26 years, and I have at least seen no evidence of a Black Hollywood when you say that, but I have seen the power and the evidence of Hollywood. So when people, and they can, you're okay to disagree, I don't think, per se, that a Black Hollywood exists. I think that there are a lot of Black people that have empowered themselves and enriched themselves in the Hollywood system. But when you say a Black Hollywood, I kind of cringe, because I go, well, if we're all human and we're all participating in this economic system, why do we have to separate ourselves by putting the word black in front of it?
But let me challenge you on that. Because I don't, for the sake of this conversation, I don't want to get, you know, down into the weeds. To me, it sounds like you're talking about a distinction without a difference, because, you know, because they're, you know, we do have the Tyler Perrys, the Issa Rae's, the Ava DuVernay's, you know, so if that is not the true evolution of Black economic power and creativity within the Hollywood structure, how is that different from Black Hollywood?
It's only because you've cited a handful of people that you probably can count on your hands, on one hand.
Yes, but 10 years ago, that hand didn't exist.
And that's unfortunate, my point. That's unfortunate. We've existed in this country for 400 years. That's my point. When you talk about economic power and then economic separatism, then yes, I would consider Tyler Perry at the forefront of Black Hollywood. Why? I've worked on his lot. I've worked on his studios. He has operating in a fantastic and beautiful and immaculate studio. But that's just one out of many in the world. Now, if we could say, oh, applaud ourselves and say after 400 years, wow, that's a boon to the Black people. Okay, I will agree with you on that. But going back to my original point, if the system is Hollywood that we say we want to be a part of, why is there only one Tyler Perry? And he didn't get there on his own. He needed Lionsgate. He was doing perfectly well on his own with Madea plays and his DVDs. I remember watching him with my family years before he became a movie star on every Thanksgiving.
But if I may interrupt you again, because particularly as it relates to all things Black in America, there had to be one first before there were many. There had to be a Hattie McDaniel. There had to be a Sidney Poitier first before there could be many because of the very history of this country. Yeah. And so I would challenge you on that.
What you're saying is that Black people in the NAACP attacked Stephen Fetcher for becoming the first technically Black Hollywood, the first multimillionaire. The success of Hattie McDaniel, who was giving her Oscar in the kitchen off camera.
You can look at
those as successes historically, but you have to fundamentally understand the power of our images.
So which brings me back to my point, the power of our the power of Queen Sugar is certainly, for example, undeniable. The power of a Denzel Washington from A Soldier's Play to A Soldier's Story is that,
not to cut you off, but I will. Because you're very good at doing it yourself.
Yeah, well, it's my show, but go ahead.
My point is that there's no ownership in Black Hollywood, if that helps clear the things up. When you say Hollywood, then I think of Warner Brothers, which Warner Brothers Horizon and Warner Brothers Television was in front of Queen Sugar. I had a piece called Conjure Woman that they chose not to go with that would have given me the same level of access that Ava DuVernay and Oprah had. But obviously, Oprah and Ava DuVernay is a larger name to me. I respect that and understand that when you talk about a Hollywood system that goes with algorithms and ratings and numbers. So what I need to clarify what I'm saying is that Black Hollywood doesn't exist fundamentally to me because we have no ownership in the pipeline of distribution. Now, when you look at Tyler Perry, he is at the forefront of that. I've seen it. I've worked in the studios and he's a master at it, but he had to work for Lionsgate, who's been around for 40 years plus, in order to attain that access and that power. Now, are we in a good place, technically speaking, as Black Hollywood with the Tyler Perry up there? Yes. But Ava DuVernay doesn't have ownership in any of her content, which is another thing in terms of brand and content. Once we get, hopefully, another 5 or 10 years, maybe, and that's being very aggressive, and have ownership, then I will say yes. Yes, fundamentally, there is finally a beautiful, healthy, working Black Hollywood. But until I see that level of ownership, then I will stand by my comment saying that Black Hollywood doesn't exist as I would prefer it to be based on the system that we have to go to Universal and Paramount and Netflix, when we have ownership, like our Netflix or BET becomes that, or TV1 becomes one of those great things, Robert Johnson creates a studio system where we have ownership and all of the actors and the producers and directors can actually participate in the royalties and the residuals affecting their talents, and we have ownership and be able to build ourselves up economically, broadly, as Black people in America and the world, then yeah, I would say Black Hollywood exists. But until then, it's just a wonderful, a beautiful title that we all could be proud of. Yes, absolutely. We're our successes over time. It's been very difficult for obvious reasons. But just from my point of view as a director and producer, if you don't have ownership in your contract, right, or even a percentage of ownership. I have a movie coming out that I directed that I have 40% ownership in. That's unheard of.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say, Isaiah, I really am, that you see it happening in 5 or 10 years, because that's very hopeful, and I pray that you are accurate on those numbers.
Well, but I think it piggybacks on what you...
But go ahead, Professor Katz, please. Go ahead, make your point.
Well, no, I do understand what he's saying. You know, it's the power structure to do what you know you believe and not have producers to please or other people who have the money and can pull the work from you or change the work or make a statement that's not as accurate as you want it to be. So, but I'm encouraged that you said 5 or 10 years. I really am.
I think it's there because the key point for the success and the healthiness of a Black Hollywood that's sustainable is having the ability to distribute. Once Tyler Perry got King Tyler Perry, no one is going to challenge him and tell him not going to distribute anything that he does, you know, because now he has become a commodity and become a brand to know that what he touches turns to gold. That's just one. I think ultimately we have about another 400 entities, individuals that can have access to distribution, which is the key, where we don't have to kowtow or ask anyone for money to do anything. Then we're a Black Hollywood that is sustainable at that point. And I am hopeful because even with me being in the business 35 years in Hollywood for 26 years, I'm now as a producer can actually have partnership and ownership in my content. And 100% ownership in another show that I did for Fox Nation. That's refreshing to me because now the pendulum is starting to swing in a different direction, which is largely positive. So in about 10 years, I hope, I'll be in my 60s, that I can live to say, hey, I could pick up the phone and call Harold and say, Harold, what do you want to do? Well, I've always wanted to tell this story. You know, and hey, you know, I want to tell this story. And I said, okay, well, how much does it cost? Okay, this. And I don't have to question about what the content is, what your narrative is, what the story is. We're just going to get it done. And then once it's successful, because we have a demographic out there that's interested in that storytelling, and just because it's an interesting story, you know, doesn't mean that it has to be a movie or it has to be a book. You know, there still have to be executive decisions made. It's what is the bottom line? How much is this going to cost? And who's going to watch it? And the pitfall for people of color or African Americans in the industry in Hollywood is that, you know, the code is, who are you making this for? Is it broad enough? That's the code word. Is this story broad enough? Mm-hmm. And I always come back and say, well, is the story broad enough for Superman or Iron Man?
Or Fiddler on the Roof?
Right.
Or Fiddler on the Roof.
Right, that's a very good example. But that's where you get producers who don't know that great art can be specific, like the Mona Lisa or Fiddler on the Roof. Be specific to a certain group of people, and yet have universal appeal to all. And, you know, you get a lot of producers and directors who don't know that, you know? They don't know
I will say they know it. I just think that they don't have the will. And I would just say it's just lazy economics, simply because as a culture, we tend to, as African Americans or Black peoples, we tend to support any and everything, you know.
Yeah.
We don't judge or question why we're watching a movie that has all Caucasian people in it. We just want to watch a good movie.
Or aliens, like E.T.
We don't question it. We just want to be entertained.
Yeah.
What was your point, Harold?
Well, my point is that I'm out of time.
And I wanted to mention
that, of course, you will be at Howard University on Monday, April 25th.
Yes, at 5:30, and we will launch the book.
Where on campus?
At what is now known as the Chadwick Boseman College of Fine Arts.
Yes, 5:30.
Fantastic.
And tickets can be purchased at Eventbrite?
Yes, you can get tickets at Eventbrite, and I will be pushing the book of technique. And I'm very glad. I wanted to mention that Isaiah has a very interesting movie. I've just seen the beginnings of it about a black cowboy, a famous black cowboy. And that's important, too. See, those are the stories that need to be told.
Isaiah, there were black cowboys?
First, I'm sorry. He was the first African-American who was made a U.S. deputy U.S. Marshal.
Yeah.
And made over 3,000 federal arrests named Bass Reed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was part of our federal law enforcement.
These are the stories that need to be told. Exactly. And, you know, as it has been said, sometimes it is the story, not necessarily he who tells it. And sometimes it is that as well. Broad appeal for people of color and the world. Isaiah Washington, Professor Vera Katz, thank you so much. Congratulations, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 22nd. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.